The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Perspectives. Previously on Exploring the Paranormal Perspective.
It's Shauna with Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. It's Amy. Everybody.
I'm actually working my way back to New Orleans. I got to get back to New Orleans. It's not far from the truth. I mean, it's a very, very, even without all the people, the city is very alive. And I mean, this is a city in 300 year history that's burned twice. Right. There are no judges, there are no judgments, no nothing. You go, you live your life, and we celebrate everything down there. So it's like, right. You know, I love that about it. Out there is the Shell Mountain. I have gotten something every time I've been out there.
Really?
I mean, that's where they had the Battle of New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Andrew Jackson, where he made his deal with Jean Lafitte to help the Americans defeat and everything. I mean, that entire battlefield is so, and we are the Parish Paranormal. Yes, I am also a publicist for several different bands in the New Orleans area. I have somebody that I'm a publicist for in Australia. I allow them to say names. If I take a step, this is what I want to do behind me.
And now I welcome you back for part two.
You know, doing the event promotions and things and stuff that I do, you know, and I'm like, you gotta give me the info and be real about the info and,
yes.
You know, be able to provide, you know, you want people to come to your event. You gotta be able to tell these people where to get their tickets and how much they are and where it's going to be and, you know, and all of that. So
definitely. And I wanted to go to that Perry Unity con in Las Vegas in December.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have the money for that. Well, I spent a lot of money on this last one, but like this, Jerry and myself are trying to get our teams together somewhere in the middle in Missouri to do an event for either a location that's having trouble or struggling that needs funds.
Hey, that's what Reed does. It's like, what we did at the Shanley, because everybody that paid to come investigate at the Shanley, all the money we raised went to the Shanley for their renovations. They needed windows. They needed paint. I mean, first of all, you're getting in towards summertime, and you know, and
the moistures and
you just got a place like that. Cause that's one thing that is sad to me. It's like once history's gone, it's gone.
It's gone, exactly. And seeing all these historic buildings, like there's some of them that used to be bars back in the old Western time and stuff like that, that turned into a bank, that turned into a hotel that now is crumbling and decaying. And it's like, no, come on. There's so much going on there.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing that I loved about working with Bill and Chris is that, you know, the different events that we did, including Sister's Tea Room and everything, is preserving history through the paranormal.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's know, I mean, history is kind of what led me into this to begin with. So,
yeah,
you know, I hate to say big fan because that didn't even encompass it. You know, it's just something that I'm very, very passionate about.
Oh, definitely. So,
you know,
my case manager went on a home one. No, I'll take that back. She went to Ashmore Estates twice. She went up there with the Booth brother. No, I'm sorry. She went up there with the Booth.
Limp Mansion.
Yes, thank you. She went there with the Booth brothers, and then she went to Ashmore Estates with the Ghost brothers this summer.
Okay.
I told her, I said, go get information for me, see what you can find out.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff around here that's really old and it has pictures from back in the early 1900s of when it was first being built and everything. And it's like, wow, so much history just in this little town.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the history in the bigger ones like OKC and Tulsa, New York City, Boston, all those places.
That haven't even been touched.
Yes.
It's not even, to me, it's not even paranormal. I just want to go in and see
architecture
and energy. And you know what, you can some of these buildings that we go into, you know, you can almost see what they were thinking when they put together this certain design or something like that. And I like to see how that and how they brought it all together.
Definitely. Oh man, just so much history in this world and so many people just want to get rid of it.
Yeah. Like getting rid of it is going to make it go away.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
So, you have a personal blog called Lifestyles of the Hot, Fabulous, and Spooky.
Yes, I do. That's actually the name of my show. And that actually started out, I started that probably about going on 5 years ago as a joke after Mardi Gras one year. And so some friends of mine and I were walking around and everything, and I said, let's do something goofy. So I said, it started out as Lifestyles of the Hot and Fabulous. And I would, and I would feature my friends, and we would go a different events that we were at and everything else to go in there, and then it kind of flowed into, and then I'm like, well, wait a minute, and I'm covering all this paranormal stuff, so I have to add. So it changed about 3 years ago to Lifestyles of Hot, Fabulous, and Spooky, because it encompasses everybody, and I'm like to showcase different people, because everybody deserves to feel hot.
Oh, yes,
everybody deserves that.
Yes.
So and it was just my way of, it was just a way of, incorporating all of my friends and making them feel special and kind of being funny at the same time. And that's one thing about the show that I do. It's like, there's no script, very off the cuff. I don't script anything that I do on my show. I just bring somebody on. Let's talk about your event.
Yes.
Put it out there. And if I don't have anybody on my show, I'll go on there. I'll come up with a list of events that I've got coming, of things that people have invited me to. I'll read them off and, put the websites out there and where you can get tickets if you need to and all of that. So, but yes, it started off as a show after Mardi Gras one year.
I think that's what makes it more fun though, when you don't have it script and you just go off of what, because I have questions for you and everything, but a lot of it is just talking and conversing. And that's what makes a show interesting to me. Not just somebody ask a question, you answer it, and then they go off to the next question. It's like, well, that wasn't really personable at all, dude.
That was Jeopardy.
What is a ghost?
Right, exactly. Who was Lizzie Borden?
Speaking of Villisca, that is just
Jeopardy.
Yep.
But
that's another one that's on my list, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Johnny Hauser. Mm.
But what was funny is that I boxes.
Right.
And
I love the design on them too, girl.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I got the t-shirt, and then I got the rubber bracelets, you know, that glow in the dark.
Oh yeah, like this Destination Fear one that scared the shit out of me when I first wore it. I'll tell you that story in a minute. Go ahead.
But and it was funny. It's like I put those bracelets out there, and I didn't even say anything about them being about my show. But you see all the women that walk. Oh, I want one of those, you know, because it's got a high heel on one side, and it's got a haunted house on the other.
Yes.
Hey, let's encompass all of it. Hot, fabulous, and spooky. So
that is the perfect title for that. But definitely.
That is just.
And it's you. You dress up in leather and high heels, and here I am in boots and tennis shoes. Like, no. I ain't risking that at almost 300 pounds. I might do it now, but not at 300 pounds when I was closer to 300 pounds. No way. Mm-mm. Those heels would have killed me within 10 minutes.
But you notice the ones that I wear have big old heels.
Yes, the big gothic boots.
Big chunky.
Yes.
I'm not gonna wear spikies to something like that.
No, like that one woman at Mid South. I can't remember who she was, but I had asked her about her heels. I'm like, woman, you wear heels all day long? And she said, yeah, my feet. I used to do ballet, so my feet are numb anyway. I don't even feel them. I said, I wish my feet would be numb.
Right.
So I could wear stuff like that all the time.
Well, I mean, I do wear the spikes a lot, you know, like at work and things like that. But when I'm in investigations, I wear like the more the hiking boot type.
Yeah.
Style, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'd wear too, like the biker boots. Those are I love those boots. They're so comfortable too. It's amazing. Go ahead.
And boots always have a tendency to support the ankles, which mine are not the best. So
mine aren't either.
I'm gonna stick with boots.
Yeah, boots are the high top Converses, one or the other. I won't wear lower ankle. Yeah, my ankles aren't too good either after volleyball. No, or basketball. Yeah. So, what do you think about the animals and the paranormal? Do you think it'd be okay to bring them or no?
I'm kind of funny about that.
It's kind of like children.
I've been in a situation where I actually witnessed somebody try to force their dog, and that infuriated me.
Yeah, that would infuriate me too.
No, there's a reason he didn't want to go there, so leave him alone.
Yes, if he doesn't want to go in there, let him stay in the car. Don't. Force?
Yes.
No, I'm against the forcing thing. Mm-mm.
Yeah, but do I think they're above and beyond as far as sensitive? Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Cats and dogs, horses. I mean, all three. I've seen. You know, they're all very, very, you know, hypersensitive. I don't know what it is. Their brain is on that next level, or you know, exactly.
Well, they're all innocent creatures too.
Yeah,
most of them are.
That's
all
what they always
creatures.
Say. Always trust the instincts of a child and an animal.
Mm-hmm. And what do they say about dogs and cats? They're like children. They trust you to take care of them and to be with them and to feed them. And if you're bad to them, I mean, come on, no, they're your fur babies. You take care of your fur babies.
Exactly. Would I ever take mine? No. Do I recommend it? Probably not. It's just like I mean, but if you know, if you go to investigation, animal already lives there and they're already going through this, and there's not a whole lot you can do about that. But,
right. I think if there was like an investigation there that were children there that like pets or animals, maybe bring to see how that they would react to the animal or the animal would react to them. Because I think that would be kind of interesting to see that play out. But
that could actually, especially with dogs, you know, just that more so with dogs, that could actually put a child a little bit more at ease.
Yeah.
talk about what's going on and their experiences and everything.
Yeah.
And that I would be, you know, that would be okay, you know, but
yeah.
Forcing an animal?
No.
Absolutely not.
No. Yeah, I've seen situations like that myself.
Yeah. I will smack you down before I let
you. And she would, y'all. Before you playing.
Oh yeah, I would. Ice Queen don't play.
No, there's been a lot of situations where, like, especially private homes. Like I had one in particular a couple of years back, and I'm only using this as an example because I've experienced it. But she had a dog that would look at a particular part of the house all the time and would bark. And she, over and over again, she's into the paranormal too. And she would over and over again go, "What's going on? What's over there?" So she would try to do kind of, she had brought out a Ouija board and was trying to play the Ouija board and stuff and got some bad juju off of it. And we went in and helped her out a little bit with it. But if a situation is like that where the animal is actually seeing it and hearing it and the person is not, would you suggest having the animal there during the investigation, or would you kind of have them close up the animal so that no outside like sounds or anything could be heard?
As long as I didn't believe the animal would be in distress of any kind, then it would be okay.
But if it caused the animal,
you know,
harm
or as long as also, you know, the animal is accepting of, you know, us being investigators, strangers
right.
in their home, as long as, you know, the dog, you know, the animal is okay with strangers in the home, they're not being distressed in any way, they're not threatening to bite anybody
right.
or anything like that, then absolutely, you know, let them, I mean, it's
right.
their home, let them wander.
Which may just put a camera up in the house and tell them, let's put a camera up first and see how the dog reacts, and then we'll come in to investigate, or...
I would, yeah, that would be actually a good idea. One of the, you know, one of the, whether it be a webcam, whether it be GoPro or, you know, or whatever. Because you never know when humans are not around. It's just the camera and the animal. You never know what you may
That's
catch
true.
Up. You know, you never...
It's like...
Yeah.
It's like people that you never know what spirit is going to react to which person, or if you got somebody in the room that spirit doesn't like, they're not going to do anything or say anything. But if that person leaves, they may do something.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or take humans out of the equation all together and just have the camera and the animal or whatever and see what plays out.
That is very,
so,
I think that's a good way to go. Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. All right, so I seen somewhere where you had put down that you were a playwright and a screenwriter, and maybe you have a couple of books that you wrote.
Mm-hmm. I have one book that I have published. Actually, I co-wrote it with a friend of mine. I don't even know that you can get it anymore. Our contract has run out with our publisher. We've written three more, and have to find a publisher. The second one we wrote is probably the one I think would translate just into film rather than a book.
Mm.
It was the hardest one to write, because I mean, she comes up with ideas and I just sit there and I fill in the blanks and I go, okay, so let's add this, and we'll do this. And at one point in time, I'm sitting here and I'm just typing away and going. And I'm like, wait a minute. Because to write as a serial killer, you have to think like one.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here and I'm writing like, this is coming a little too easy to me. I gotta step away. I will be honest. I'm like, I scared myself. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
How things like that happen.
Oh yeah. And you know, and it does. And it And it takes you a while to actually shake that off. Once you get your mind into it and you get into it, and I'm like, oh, I gotta step away because I'm coming up with these ideas too easily and too graphic and, you know, and all of a sudden, and I'm like, oh, Lord. But yeah, we had our first book published. It was called Haunting Secrets. It's also the only romance one that we did. It was romantic, but it was also paranormal fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've worked on a couple of screenplays with a friend of mine who has a production company out in LA. And he and I have been working on this one script for off and on for several years now. And he actually used to live down the street from Nicolas Cage. And
oh,
so
wow.
when he started the script, he actually wrote it for Nicolas Cage. But he no longer lives in LA, and but we still it's on the back burner. But I mean, mm-hmm. I still think it would be a really good script. I don't know that it would take a character for it, but that is a whole different type of writing. that was hard for me to wrap my mind around because I'm so used to I'm very descriptive.
Right.
You know, and so what it may take me a couple of pages to describe and everything. I mean, you know, they can, bam, there's the house exactly like I described it in my book. And then they can do that in like 3 seconds.
Right.
And so I'm, and he goes, no, you just need to work on, you know, I know you have this image in your head of what this needs to look like and all this other stuff, but they will take care of that. You just need to work on the dialogue. And I'm like, but the dialogue is also based around what I'm seeing.
Exactly.
So it's a vicious circle. And and I'm just like, work with me here. I gotta, you know.
Can I put the description in there and then their
for,
stuff?
For me to be able to write the dialogue like you want, I have to be able to build this image in my head.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, then build the image on another sheet of paper. But write the script here.
like, okay. That looks so weird.
Okay, yeah. But back and forth. Okay, so you're in this kitchen that I have decorated, you know, that I have this all decorated and I have it all described over here. And over here, it's like, and the man said this, you know, or, you know, and like, it was really, really hard for me to grasp writing that style.
Oh gosh. Kudos to you.
Completely different. But he said something to me and he goes, they take care of that. That's what scenes are for and all this other stuff. You just need to work on the dialogue. And I'm like, what if they don't decorate it the way I want it decorated?
Right.
I want it in my head. He can't say it this way if it's not decorated the way that I have it in my head.
Exactly. Exactly. I sit there looking at it going, how do screenwriters do this?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, he actually sent me the software for it because it's a whole different program.
Oh wow.
And I'm like, you know, because it's like, because you go into the whole scene one, take two, or whatever, you know, and fade out, and John said this, and Debbie said this, and I'm like, I don't like this.
Oh, yeah, right.
I like my writing where I'm more descriptive and all that. And they have people for that.
And can I'm I like, just write the book and y'all take it from there?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, oh, but it was just completely different way of writing, and I won't say that I won't do it again, but it would be real. It was very, very hard for me to get that concept in my head.
I would have to negotiate. Be like, okay, let's do a negotiation here. I write the book, and then y'all can take the book and but just don't take out any descriptions. Y'all got to do the things like I have them written.
If I tell you that chair is blue, you better make it blue. Otherwise, because otherwise the main character cannot say this line. You know, just
the man was colorblind, so he said a green chair when it was really no. That's not what I said in the book.
That would be my bad thing. That I would be losing control. They'd be trying to make all these changes. No. No.
All right. No. Yeah. And they tend to do that a lot too.
Yeah. Did I tell you you could make that door red? No, I did not.
No. 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 We're gonna do it like this. Do you think any actual writer gets an actual say when a producer and a director come in and start taking over?
It depends on if they retain creative control over their work.
That's true.
Stephen King, absolutely. I believe they have to listen to, you know, a lot of what he said. It depends. Yeah. I mean, if you have, and that is one thing that we did is that with our first book is that we made sure that the public, nobody, but I mean, not even the publisher, had creative. We maintained 100% creative control over our work.
Sweet.
So, it's maintaining that creative control. I think that would, because I mean, directors and producers, all they are going to take some liberties. I get that. You know, I get it. But
too much liberty, though, especially with your baby. Yeah. That's kind of.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, you know, we're talking about, like, when they made that movie, Haunting in Connecticut.
Oh, yes.
Did you ever read the book?
I never did read the whole book. I read some of it. Okay. And I know they exaggerated a lot in that movie.
I read, it was based on In a Dark Place by Edna Frank. And I read that book years and years ago. And then I sit there and I watch the movie and I'm like, the book was scary enough. You didn't need to add all this Hollywood crap to it.
Right. Right.
The book alone was enough. You didn't need to add any goop to it. You had stuck with the book, this would have been a much better movie.
Oh, you know, a lot of movies are like that. Man, I was listening. What do you think about exorcism movies? Like The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Have you seen that one?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to say. It's you know, how true to the story did they say?
Right.
You know, you were there at Miss South in 2019 when Chris bought that box. He's got her exorcism kit. And then of course he actually sent me an audio clip of you know, the recording of her exorcism, which is creepy as all kinds of hell. You know. But they actually used clips from her exorcism in their documentary, The Haunted Boy. Have you seen that one?
I still have not seen that one yet.
You gotta watch it. But they've got The Haunted Boy on there. And it was very, very well done.
I did read some of the journal though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
I actually ordered the DVD from Chris, and then as part of when he sent me the DVD of it, the book portion, the actual journals that I actually had published in the book, he sent that along with the DVD. And
sweet.
It was, I mean, very, very well done. Very well done.
They do a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Very amazing guys.
Yeah, they are. They are. Very talented.
Have you seen The Attent yet? Oh, wow. Those stories are just...
Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. We'll be right back.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night? that you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers.
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to The Professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction.
We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
Hey, this is Lee.
And this is Michelle.
And this is Dustin from the Dead Zone.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Welcome back to Exploring the Paranormal Perspective.
And to watch them going through when they're doing their investigation stuff, it's like, what?
I also want to get the one that they did, that Children of the Grave.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That one, we're over here in Oklahoma.
The last couple of times.
Not Oklahoma.
The last couple of times I've seen Chris, he's actually been out of that one.
Yeah.
So I need to get with them, find out if they have any more. But it's the first one, The Children of the Grave, because I know they have Children of the Grave too. But just the first one, The Children of the Grave, I really want to copy of that.
But yeah, I want to get all of theirs, theirs. I got the attached, and I want to get Never Blink, because that's going to be a horror movie that's pretty cool. Have you seen the previews of that one?
Yeah.
My God, man. No, that's a world all in and of itself.
Did you see Dead Still?
Yes. Dead Still was one of the camera. Yes. Yeah. Oh man, that one was. That one had chills going up my arm every time. Like, what? And then my dad gives my son all these old cameras. And I said, what are you doing, Dad? So I've seen in there that you're a skeptical believer. Are you still a skeptical believer? I can't even say that word. Skeptical believer. Oh, are you still one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 It was funny because even when I went to Waverly, you know, and everybody talks about room 502 and all this, and I'm going to Waverly and I'm looking. And, you know, my mind automatically goes, you know, by training and instinct and all that, my mind is psychology. They hate people, people, the way they behave and things like that, and reactions. So I'm sitting here looking at types. Because I said, they said that she hung herself.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it going, I mean, I know where these are rusted and everything, but I don't see anything that would hold the body. So let's try this again.
Right?
I sit there and try and figure out, is that really feasible? It's a great story, but is it really feasible? Do we keep perpetuating a myth? If it's a myth, then, there was enough that happened there without that to cause the paranormal activity.
Right.
Exactly. But that is one thing that I don't want to do, as far as going to a well-known location or not well-known location. But if I can't prove it, I'm not going to put it in a story. I'm not going to perpetuate a myth. It completely disrespects the people that live there, the people that built the house, built the building, put their lives and money and all that into it. Completely disrespects them if you keep telling wrong information.
Right. If you're just trying to tell a tall tale to sell a story.
Exactly. Make it more scary or something.
Exactly.
That's not what I'm about. So.
No. Well, I think us as investigators should go in with a skeptical mind, because we should be able to debunk anything.
Right, exactly.
And the honesty, first and foremost.
Exactly.
But
yeah, I've had several people ask me about, you know, what do I recommend those who want to get into ghost hunting? And I'm like, do not base everything that you know or that you want to know on what you've seen on TV.
Right.
just don't. And that's going to get me in trouble. It gets me in trouble, but it's the truth.
It is.
Because, and it's really, irony here is, I am the least patient person on this planet. And I have chosen a hobby that requires nothing but patience. Yes. Because, you know, you have new people that come in and they automatically want to, you know, they want to hear the knocking and the scratching on the walls, all this other stuff. And I'm like, chances are you're going to be sitting in the dark for a very long time in the quiet. I mean, right. Let's be honest.
And hours and hours of review and
yes.
Yep. And it does get haggarding, especially when you only have like 3 people on a team and you got 78 hours worth of evidence.
Right. Exactly. And then you've also got jobs that have, you know, you have to go back and forth, you know, but just don't face everything that you think you know or you want to know or whatever about it on what you see on TV.
Exactly.
And don't get me wrong, there are guys that some of the people on TV that have some interesting methods that that kind of give you some good ideas maybe. But I mean, yep. I don't agree with I've known Ed Brain Warren since mid-90s.
Goodness.
But I don't agree with everything that they believe, but it doesn't mean I don't respect them.
Exactly.
And what they've contributed to the field, what they've done in their careers, and all that. I mean, it's the same with any other team. Just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I don't respect your right to believe what you believe. Or
you have that right. It's freedom.
You know, your methods of investigating, if that works for you, then you go do that.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. What do you think about phone apps? You can plead the fifth if you want to.
Very skeptical of phone apps.
Mm-hmm. They remind me of the ovulus.
Yes. Yeah. That's hard.
It is very hard.
The only phone app that I have that I use on a regular basis is I've got an app on my phone that can do night vision.
Oh, nice.
So it's very simple. If that really doesn't, you know, and also it can take pictures with the night vision.
Nice.
And then I also have one that's got it does the thermal.
Yep.
Infrared thermal and all that. And I can also take pictures of the infrared fluctuations in temperature and all that other stuff. But as far as, like, I know everybody goes to this, but I'm very, very skeptical with the ghost box. Because it does work on radio waves.
Yeah.
Unless you can absolutely get a specific response for the question that you answered, it's... Mm-hmm.
The random voices and the random sayings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ask a question. Ask if, you know, if it comes back with my name, then I know there's something there because my name is not one that you're going to hear all the time.
Right. Yeah.
So those are the ones. And I love portal boxes and spirit boxes. And I actually downloaded a couple apps on here that are portal boxes that was suggested to me by a couple of paranormal people. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll download them and I'll listen to them. And, you know, they've kind of got my curiosity just because they don't randomly say something all the time. I mean, there was an hour that I had it going that it didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, maybe. But at the same time, it's like, I would really love to own a portal box that somebody has made.
I see Bill has one of those. Bill,
yes, and he was supposed to make me one.
I wish.
And he still hasn't made me one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, see, if you've got one that's and like using tablets and things like that, I think maybe I would put more credence into a tablet that's not hooked up to a Wi-Fi and it's still picking up signals.
Yeah. Yeah. You now, know? Those connected to the Wi-Fi, yeah, I get really iffy of those. You know, turn off your Wi-Fi and see if it'll run then.
Yeah, because I'm going to really use it on your phone. Cause even if you're not on the Wi-Fi, you're still on your network and it's, there's still going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty old school when it comes to investigating. I like some of the new stuff. Some of the new toys I'll try out, try it, but it goes back down to my recorder and my camera.
Mm-hmm.
It just,
those your body's going to be the my main. My automatic
go-to.
Mm-hmm. I like my camera and my Digi too, especially doing like the 5-minute EVP sessions where you're asking them questions and you play it back. And man, those things are amazing.
Well, see, when I started out with an analog recorder with the little tapes and everything.
I've got one.
And I was dead set on. Every investigation that I did had its own tape. I didn't record over anything. That entire tape was that investigation. That way, I didn't risk bleeding over from anything. I didn't, I opened the cassette fresh from the package, put in the recorder, and then went to it. Mm. And I started out with that. And if I had my choices, I would probably still do that.
I actually have one. I have a little one.
Yeah.
With the little tapes. And yes, definitely. It's just so expensive to buy those tapes anymore. It's like, yes, I remember they was like 99 cents.
And to find them to begin with.
Oh, gosh. Amazon has them, but jeez. Mm-hmm. Still pricey. It's like, it's just easier to do SD cards and digis anymore. But it's still, at the same time, it's like...
But
35 millimeter camera.
Yes. Well, see, I got some of my best stuff on the disposable camera when I first started out. Disposable cameras and analog recorder.
Mm-hmm.
I got really good stuff on those at random places that we would go investigate. Huh?
Polaroids.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause there's no way you can mess with a Polaroid.
Mm-mm.
You can't alter it in any way. Nothing like that.
No, but that's still so expensive.
Yeah, gosh. That is.
Like, why? They even have the disposable Polaroids, and it's like, why? Why? Why are you going to spend $50 on a disposable Polaroid?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Exactly. No. Exactly.
And you only get like 10 pictures out of it? Come on.
Right.
They should make that stuff more accessible.
I don't know where. How many did you used to get? Like, you used to get like a cartridge of them.
Oh, 60.
How many
pictures did
you... Yeah.
You'd get 60 and you'd like, cartridge.
Bing, 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 and they'd shoot out, you know.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah, it was only like $12-13 for the whole cartridge. And you just pop that into your Polaroid and just take quick pictures. You think that action shot's great. You just have somebody that's got a quick finger.
Exactly. Yeah.
Man.
We went to, when Mish and I were, before we went to Bel Air the first time, she and I spent the night in Pittsburgh, downtown Pittsburgh, which is a phenomenal city if you ever get a chance.
I watched that video you did of it when you were talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We actually went to dinner that night and got run out by the mafia. I'm not even kidding. That scared the crap out of both of us. Oh God! But anyway, so we went to these all these different really cool places downtown Pittsburgh, and we went to this one camera store And they have just about every kind of camera from every era that you can think of. It was fascinating. And I mean, from old movie cameras to old daguerreotype cameras to, and they had, I mean, any kind of part that you needed for a camera, they had it somewhere. And I mean,
oh, wow.
It was.
They still make them?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, oh my gosh, the place was just, it was fascinating.
Oh, man.
So cool. And so it's, that was a real, I would love my to dad's go back to dream. That shop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's my dad's dream shop right there. Because he told me, he goes, I want to go back through that box and see if there's any I want to keep. I said, Dad, you're more than welcome to. They were your cameras. He doesn't have them. They're here in my house.
Yeah. I mean, it was like you walked in and you saw like one of those movie cameras, like Charlie Chaplin used to use. And oh, I mean, just gosh. I'm not exaggerating. Just about every camera from every era you could think of. They had it there and the parts for them and.
I'd hate to be the editor to those cameras, though. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. No.
I like being an editor now.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was actually before we found Wiener World.
I heard that.
That was another of mine and Mish's adventure. In our time in Pittsburgh, waiting for somebody to come get us
one Wiener World
to Bel Air, and we're just walking around downtown, taking all these pictures of the churches, the Gothic architecture, and all this other stuff. And we come out of this church, we walk down to the corner, and we saw Wiener World. And Mish goes, "We've got to go in." So we went into Wiener. That's why every once in a while you'll see me post something about tag her in it going, "I'm having breakfast at Wiener World in Pittsburgh with Mish." And
so it's a restaurant? Is it a hot dog restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm scared.
I'm going to have to send you the video of her eating. I mean, it's like.
Oh my gosh. Foot long hot dogs.
Yes. And it was like, we both, I mean, I got like a drink and a hot dog and some chips for like $6. Dang. And it was, and I'm like, but it was just, it just fascinated us, and it was hysterical, and we just had the best time there, and
that's like Uranus here in Missouri.
Oh my God.
Oh God. I bought my husband a shirt, and let me tell you, at this convention, John Dugan loved the shirt. It was a conversation piece.
Yeah.
Because it was like something in the front, liquor in the back. And I can't remember what it says on the front of it. And I'm like, I got to get that for my husband. He'll love it. Sure enough, first convention I ever take him on, and he wears that shirt down at the bar. And I was the one to tell him to wear whatever you want. Right, lucky right. For me, it was a conversation piece, and a lot of people came over to talk about it.
Right. And you can segue into something else.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I did.
Really, really obscure. And you're like, not only that, but hole in the wall. Hole in the wall.
Yes. In the middle of nowhere.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like
Amish.
Amish. Yes. Thank you. Yes. 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 There's a little section down south from me where I live. Yeah. That they sell soap. They sell food. They sell all kinds of homemade stuff, butter. Oh my gosh. And I told my mama, because she had gone down there one time and got a bunch of butter, apple butter, or not apple butter. I think it was honey butter or something like that. It was very good, whatever it was. Yeah. And soaps and stuff like that. And I said, next time you go down, I want some. She goes, well, why don't you just go down? It ain't that far from you either. I live in the same city as you live. Do you believe in the cryptozoology, like Bigfoot and stuff like that too?
Well, Some of them I have a hard time grasping, but I will tell you, in the summer of 2019, when Bill and Chris and I were traveling and everything, we were in Ohio, and we were at this campground. We stayed in an RV the whole time, and so and according to everybody else, we weren't camping; we were glamping, because you know we had Wi-Fi, we had TV, we had big screen TV the whole nine.
Heater, air AC, whatever.
Yeah, you know, whatever. But I was sitting.
Lamp.
I was sitting outside. Bill and Chris had gone to do something. And I was sitting outside and I heard this noise I had never heard before in my life. It was, and I'm sitting here going, is that? You know, and I'm sitting here looking for kids. I'm looking for people, you know, there's somebody. And I don't see anybody around me or anything like that or anything. So like, okay. Well, and then a couple of minutes later, I heard it again. And I'm like, it was a noise that I had never heard before. It was a cross between a growl and a scream and a roar. And I'm like, okay, well, I know that they combine things for the T-Rex in Jurassic Park, but I don't see CGI around here anywhere.
No.
And then about 5 minutes later, I heard it again.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is... What?
You know, just like, I gotta record this.
And so Chris and Bill came back and I told them what I heard, and by the time they got back it was dark, so you know, we were going to be done for the evening, so we decided the next day to go hiking, you know, because they had this trail called Ghost in the Woods at this campground. And so we're walking along and I was telling Bill about the noises that I had heard.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, okay, well. And so we're walking along this trail, and it was really, really muddy. And we see this footprint. Huge footprint. And I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking, what do I have on me to measure this with? So the only thing that I can think of, I smoke 120 cigarettes, which are pretty long.
Right. So about almost.
Okay.
Smoked.
So that's the only thing that I could think of that I had that I could put it down and compare it to. So I put it down at the heel and put it on there. And it was about this much larger
than the box.
The footprint was.
Wow.
And I'm like, so we were telling somebody about this noise that I heard. They said, oh, well, yeah, there was a sighting the week before you guys got here. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, all right.
You heard a Bigfoot.
Yeah, I did. I guess I did. But I think that, this being that they call Bigfoot, I think it's on another level. Because, you know, you see these people that go out there and they're whispering and everything. And I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
You're out there. You're out there in his territory.
He's going to hear you.
These things, it doesn't matter how much you whisper. He's in tune with his environment.
Oh, yeah.
He knows when there is a disruption in the environment. And you're causing a disruption in the environment. I mean, especially you just are. Just be out, just being there, you know. I'm like, this thing is so next level. And I just think I also think it could possibly be like interdimensional. That maybe that's why you don't find them.
Yeah.
They only, they know. You only see them when they want you to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Now, yeah. Bill Bean had some guys on his show several months ago that had a Bigfoot experience like I had never heard before in my life.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it affected both of these guys emotionally, spiritually. They actually had to have, Bill actually had to help them out as far as cleansing and all that other stuff. But I mean, it was a Bigfoot story that I had never heard before. Go to his channel on YouTube, He has it every Sunday night. But go back to his archive and look at it. And it's a story like you will never hear another Bigfoot story like this.
This has been fun, and we're going to have to do it again. Do you want to promote your websites and wherever you want people to find you?
Well, actually, right now I am, I'm actually building the website for Lifestyle. We're going to be setting up our YouTube channel. And Sweet. That way we can get some more people on and have people, you know, see, instead of just doing a Facebook Live and all that other stuff, actually see the people and that we're talking to, and we're giving them a little bit more information on the cons that are going on. And
that would be awesome.
But even the cons that I don't go to, any of them that I'm invited to or anything like that, I do post them on my site, on my Facebook page. So if anybody's interested, anybody's shows, anybody's cons, anybody's concert, whatever, I share it on my page so anybody can participate if they want to. And
that's cool.
Hopefully next year we'll open up the cons, and hopefully you and I will get to see each other again.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm going to be doing more cons hopefully next year. Yes. And I'm actually going to be going as, you know, having my own booth rather than just going as, you know, just walking around. I actually want to, you know, and all that. And then I definitely want to, you know, Scarefest, DegCon. I'm gonna get sick of these cons, and you know, and we can get booths next to each other or something, you know.
Yes, that would be so fun.
You know, and I just like being around
like-minded people.
Exactly. I like being around. I like sharing ideas. I like getting new ideas with people. I like telling stories about the different experiences that we've had, and you know.
Yes.
So that's a natural high for me. You know, it's like
me too. I love it.
I love that. So
yes,
we're gonna work on that in 2022.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
But right now, you can check out my Facebook page, Amy Green. I do have a Facebook page for Lifestyles, and I have some of my videos posted on there. And then, of course, we haven't talked about it a whole lot. I don't know exactly what we've got going in 2022 for REAP. We haven't talked about it a whole lot. Bill and Chris are actually in the process of having a new house built. So they're really, really, you know, doing that right now. And so hopefully I get to see them soon. And
right. Gosh, I can't believe it's been so long since I've seen you guys in person. I know. We've had so much fun.
I know. What was it? It was
2019.
Summer 2019.
Yes. Yeah. It was.
It was right after I left New Orleans. And not only that, but I tell you what, when I move back, you got to come see me. You got to come see me in New Orleans.
Yes. Definitely. I've been wanting to go back to New Orleans for a long time. And my occult specialist was like, I've got to go. It's just been calling me. And I'm like, well, we're going to plan it. We're going to go. I just don't know when, but we're going to go.
Oh, yeah. And I miss all my friends and my life down there. And so I'm going to get back to that as quickly as possible. And you come down and I will take you where the locals go.
Yes. That will be awesome.
That's the deal.
That's the best part.
Yes. You gotta go where the locals.
The locals know best.
we know how to go have a good time.
Well, girl, keep in touch and we will definitely do that.
Mm-hmm. I will talk to you soon and you have a good night.
Thank you so much. Take care.
And that's the end of our show. Thank you so much for listening to Exploring the Paranormal Perspectives podcast. Tune in next Wednesday, 8:00 Central Standard Time, for a very special couple. Y'all take care.